that's important for accelerated life testing and for product testing in general is the concept of acceleration factors. And I know I've mentioned it a few times and briefly explained it, but let's dive into it a little bit more deeply here. AF is used as the abbreviation for acceleration factor, and I've seen a range of other abbreviations or uses for this, but basically, if we're dealing with accelerated testing in the in various models, we're dealing with acceleration factor. And it's really just a ratio. There's nothing magical about it. So if we take a look at, say, the Arrhenius equation, it's the time to failure at the stress level equals the time to failure at the operating level times this activation energy over K. It's e to this value, and then 1 minus T operating minus 1 minus T stress. And this all is in the exponent. So if I take this T sub zero out over to here, get T sub zero, there, this equals the acceleration factor. Nothing magical about it. It's, you'll see equations with L stress equals LO, and then some set of terms. Simply divide each side by L sub zero, and now you have the acceleration factor equation. It's everything that's left over here. Pretty simple. But one of the ways to use it is in a reliability function or in the cumulative distribution function, which is 1 minus the reliability function. And it's basically adjusting or shifting this time element by the acceleration factor. It's probably easier to see graphically. Let's see. Here's my stress level. And for any given time that I'm dealing with, I'm going to divide it by its acceleration factor in order to get my use temperature. Yes, this will create a smaller number. Acceleration factors are almost always greater than one. This will give me a smaller number, thus making multiplying the stress times a small number will make my operating reliability small. I have to think about this. Whether it's, I might have inverted that. So put a note on that and we'll check the notes to make sure it's, I got it correct. But here's the concept. So at stress, say, of 250 volts, I'm measuring dielectric breakdown or withstand for a particular dielectric, and I run some samples and I get a handful of failures. And so this is a cumulative distribution plot. It's probably a Weibull distribution, but I get, say, 20 hours and I'm already at 35, almost 40% failures. Whereas if I use a lower voltage, It takes 35 or so days to get to the same level or similar level, and vice and so on. 150 volts. This now is shift quite a ways over, so that I'm up at 60 days, 3x improvement in the reliability. So the ratio between 150 volts and 250 volts might be an acceleration factor that equals 3. 20 times 3 gives me 60 for the same percentile on the distribution. That's what this really is about, is the ability to translate or shift the curve given the respective stresses that are applied in order to account for the change in the stresses. Now, of course, this can work either direction. If I'm at 150 volts and I want to understand what's my failure rate at 250 volts, and if I know the acceleration factor, it's 60 divided by 3, gives me 20. That's why it's making me think that the previous curve, I've got that inverted. But if I plot it, then I can sort it out very, very quickly. is if I'm going to higher stresses, which cause failures to occur more quickly, is going to the left on the curve. So these numbers and the time to failure are getting smaller. And so enough doodling on there. But that's the basic idea of what an acceleration factor is about. Now, in practice, if my acceleration factors are very, very large, say in the thousands or tens of thousands, I'm usually pretty suspicious, because the ability to go from testing at 250 volts to 150 volts and then make a conclusion about a tenth of a volt, I think that's a pretty broad jump, and I'd have to have pretty good evidence that the failures that occur at high voltage are the same that occur at low voltage. Vice versa, if I'm looking at plotting this out to 100 volts, that's not as big a jump between the lowest end of my stress. So I've got a pretty good model that describes this surface here. So the extrapolation to 100 volts is not so large. Any extrapolation adds risk to the analysis, but the smaller that jump, the better. It's a general thing to keep in mind. So if my acceleration factor in this case is, say, where am I at? About maybe 100, 120. So acceleration factor of maybe 5 or 6. That's not too bad. It's pretty reasonable. I'd like having accelerations that are bigger, but well proven. So if I'm accelerating something 100x, 100 times, so 1 hour in test equals 100 hours in practice, I want to make sure that the failure mechanisms can span that range of stresses. So here again, I'm talking about failure mechanisms. Another plot that comes in handy if you're building your own accelerated or acceleration model is to plot the log of hours that you're running times, in this case, I'm using volts. And sometimes log and sometimes you don't, but what you're looking for is a linear relationship. So these points on here are at 200 volts. It took us 3.9 hours to, or log of hours to fail. And 150 went much longer, out to say 4.4 or so. And as I run the test at different stresses, I can create a line. Now, if you remember your basic regression from statistics classes, you really need at least 3 points to determine if you've got a line. In practice, you really only need 2 and you get a perfect line. But if you want to judge the fit of that line, you need at least 3 points. Plus, if your highest stress just completely, or lowest stress, or I'm sorry, your highest stress, this side, completely creates a different failure mechanism, you'll have to throw that data out, and you still have 2 points, though, that you can do the extrapolation to your use stress. So in this case, it is 120. And so the extrapolation is really just create an equation for this line and then apply the use conditions to get to the final point. That part's actually pretty simple. It's a very limited amount of information because it costs quite a bit of money to evaluate and make and create the single points for each stress level. So when you're setting these kinds of tests up, is keep in mind that you're trying to create a robust model that allows you to evaluate various different use conditions without having to rerun the test. And that does take a little bit more planning and work, but it's well worth your time. So, yeah, once again, I'm focusing on failure mechanisms. It is one of the absolute critical elements of what we do is understand what will fail at a chemical or physical level, at very fundamental material science levels in many cases. That allows us to set up, plan, and execute, analyze properly the variety of testing that we're going to do on products. Just wrapping up this module, so once again, work the examples. I'll be adding more sample exams and more sample questions to the course. If you need some more, let me know. I've got a bunch of raw samples that could actually use some feedback on, make sure that they're all right. But I find that that's the best way to practice using your references so that you get very comfortable with reading a question, knowing you got to look up a term, and then knowing exactly where to find it. And that can help speed up your test-taking capabilities. In the next module, which is a bit shorter than some of the others we've dealt with, is the maintainability and availability. So we'll talk about maintenance practices. Oh, excuse me. Maintenance practices, which I probably need some more tea or vitamin C or something. And probably need to get out from sitting behind this computer all day and go do something else. But we're also going to look at calculations for availability and maintenance strategies and maintenance practices in the next module.